My friends, to whom shall we go? In the sixth chapter of John, verses 60 through 69, we have the record of the occasion that brought forth a great question, to whom shall we go? In verse 66, it is revealed that many of his disciples went back and walked with him no more. It hardly seems possible that those who had been walking and talking with Christ would deliberately turn and walk away from him. To whom shall they go when they turned and walked away from the Lord? Beloved, has that question ever occurred to you? To whom shall we go when we reject Christ as our Savior, the Son of the living God? There are some vital issues involved in this question. Why do men today propose to walk with Christ, then turn and walk with him no more? Why do some never attempt to take one step with the Lord? Yet they must know that they cannot take even one step alone without fear of the judgment to come. During the personal ministry of our Lord, there were many who followed him for the loaves and fishes they might receive. There were others who, no doubt, followed because the crowd was going that way. My friends, are you listening? That are those fair-weather friends of our Lord today who propose to follow Christ and try to make the world think they're walking with Christ, but they are really walking the way of their own selfish reasons and personal gain, not because of their devotion to the Lord. Perhaps they want the loaves and fishes. No doubt, as was true during the days of Christ on earth, there are some today who propose to be followers of the Lord because the crowd is going that way. Many times I've had friends to tell me frankly that they were members of this denomination or that denomination because they had the largest membership and the largest crowds were there. Were they walking with Christ? Certainly not. They stumble at the gospel of Christ and refuse the word of God, most likely. Friends, let me tell you, if you're anxious about the largest crowd, just remember that Jesus said the largest crowd is on the wrong road, the broad way that leads to destruction. You will read that in your Bible, Matthew chapter 7, verses 13 and 14. To whom shall we go? We cannot go with the largest crowd because it is the largest crowd. We cannot go for the loaves and fishes. I almost hear someone say, we must go to the Bible. And that is right. But what do we mean to say the Bible? Someone will tell you that you should go to Moses and the prophets. Others are likely to say that we should go to the Ten Commandments of the law of Moses. Some are likely to tell you that go to the book of Genesis or the book of Deuteronomy or the Psalms or the books of the Old Testament as you tell people about Christ and salvation. No, not necessarily. Old Testament reveals Christ, of course, but the record of Christ and his gospel will be found in the New Testament. We do not go to Moses and the prophets. We cannot go to the law of Moses to walk with Christ. That does not mean that the Old Testament is not true. It is true. It is the word of God. But that law was given to the Jews who were delivered from the bondage of Egypt, and the law has been kept and was kept by them. In Deuteronomy chapter 5, verse 15, it is revealed, and thou shalt remember that thou wast a servant in the land of Egypt, and Jehovah thy God brought thee thence by a mighty hand and by an outstretched arm. Therefore, Jehovah thy God commandeth thee to keep the Sabbath. Of course, the Sabbath was only a part of that law. But the point is, the law was given only to the Jews who were delivered from the land of Egypt. In verses 2 and 3 of the same chapter, it is revealed of Deuteronomy 5. And I repeat, Jehovah our God made a covenant with us in Horeb. Jehovah made not this covenant with our fathers, but with us, even us, who are all of us here alive this day. To those of you who have been thinking that we should go back to the law of Moses for salvation, may I ask the question, are you a Jew? Were you delivered from the bondage of Egypt? Do you keep the Sabbath observance or the rituals of the law in memory of your deliverance from Egyptian bondage? Remember, Moses declared that the old law was not given to their fathers, and certainly not to us, but was given to them, he said, with us, even us, all of us who are all alive this day. The old law was given to the Jews only, and was to govern them only until Christ should come, according to 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 7, and Ephesians chapter 2, verses 14 through 16. In Hebrews chapter 8, verses 8 through 13, it is revealed that the law of Moses was to pass away, and a new law was to be given instead, the law of Christ, the New Testament. Hear the apostle as he quoted the prophet. Behold, the days cometh, saith the Lord, that I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah, not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day that I took them by the hand to lead them forth out of Egypt. Concluding the matter, the apostle declared, in that he saith a new covenant, he hath made the first old. But that which is becoming old is waxed aged and is now unto vanishing away. When Jesus died on the cross, the old law was removed. It was nailed to the cross, as declared by the apostle in Ephesians chapter 2, verses 14 through 16, and in Colossians chapter 2 and verse 14. The apostle wrote, he taketh away the first, that he may establish the second. Hebrews 10, 9 and 10. To whom shall we go? Shall we go back to the law of Moses and the prophets? Or shall we come to Christ, the Son of the living God, who has the words of eternal life? Those who turn to go back to the law of Moses reject Christ and find themselves walking in the smoke of the city of Babylon. We must therefore scripturally conclude that we must come to the New Testament, the new law, the law of Christ, in order to come to Christ and walk with Him. But again, and I say, are you listening? Perhaps somebody is saying, why not John the Baptist? We must come to John the Baptist for the beginning of the church, and for the name that we honor, and for salvation. No, my friends, that is a mistake. Moreover, both John the Baptist and Christ made it clear and evident that John was only a forerunner of Christ. He was only to prepare the way of the Lord. When John preached, his message was, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. In John 3:29, John himself declared that Christ was the bridegroom, while he, John, was only a friend of the bridegroom, that is, Christ, and he must increase. John would decrease as the friend of the bridegroom, soon pass out of the picture, but Christ, the bridegroom, would last forever. Furthermore, John declared that he was unworthy to even bear the shoes of our Lord. Concerning John, Jesus said, born of woman, there is none greater than John the Baptist, yet the least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. Matthew 11, verse 11. Truly, John the Baptist was a great man, but we can't go to him. The church did not begin with him. It was after the death of John the Baptist when Jesus said, I will build my church. Matthew 16, verse 18. Christ's church was established after his death. Read very carefully Acts chapter 1, verses 4 through 8, and the second chapter, verses 36 through 47. My friends, I suggest that hardly would you put your trust and faith in the false prophets, the fake healers, the fraudulent promoters of religion to their own brands. Nor would you depend upon the modernists, liberals, and perverters of divine truth. Now, would you? What about the philosophies and theories of men concerned about their own thing or some new thing, more than about God's will and man's relationship to Christ through the gospel of Christ? Listen to what the Bible says. Are you listening? Take heed, lest there shall be anyone that maketh spoil of you through his philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. And again, verse 20, if you died with Christ from the rudiments of the world, Why, as though living in the world, do you subject yourself to ordinances? Handle not, nor taste, nor touch. All which things are to perish with the using after the precepts and doctrines of men. Ladies and gentlemen, to whom shall we go? That is but one answer. Christ, the Son of the living God. To whom shall we go? John the Baptist or Christ? The law of Moses or the law of Christ? When our Lord took with him Peter, James, and John into the high mountains and was transfigured before them, there appeared unto them Moses and Elijah talking with them. The Apostle Peter, who declared that there is none other to whom we can go except Christ, became confused in his thinking. He suggested, Lord, it is good for us to be here. If thou wilt, I will make here three tabernacles, one for thee and one for Moses and one for Elijah. But his speech was interrupted by a voice from heaven. The suggestion was contrary to the will of God. A bright cloud overshadowed them, and the voice declared, This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him. Ladies and gentlemen, are you listening? There was no place for Moses and the prophets, nor John the Baptist. It is Christ and Christ alone, none other. That is none other. The voice from heaven corrected the mistaken idea of Peter when he declared, This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him. To whom shall we go? Without Christ, you're walking alone, but with Satan as your companion. Without Christ, you're lost. Without Christ, we have nothing, and our hope fades into lasting nothingness. My friends, will you listen to me? Someday, how soon, we know not. We must depart from this world. You must know that. Death is inevitable. To whom shall we go when you come to realize that you have walked down the last walk of the way? To your mother? To your father? Your husband? Your wife? How far can they go with you? Have you ever thought about that? They can only go with you, perhaps, to your deathbed. Then they can go no farther. They must part at the grave on the margin of eternity. Maybe you have been trusting in your fraternity, your lodge, or your club. How far can they go with you? Will you call for them when your feet are being dipped in the cold, chilly stream of the river of death? They can only go with you to the bank of the river. They must stop. Oh, my friends, I tell you, if you are a Christian, you can go all the way with Christ. And only with him can you walk through the valley of the shadow of death, and there be no regrets at the end of the journey. I must tell you, there is none other upon this earth in whom you can trust, and none other that you can follow. If you're relying upon the faith and tradition of your father, your mother, whomever, remember the words of Jesus, He that loveth father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. And he that doth not take up his cross and follow after me is not worthy of me. Matthew chapter 10, verses 37 and 38. To whom shall we go? That is only one answer. Christ is the author of eternal salvation to all them that obey him, as you read in Hebrews chapter 5 and verse 9. His invitation to all men of earth is, Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart. And you shall find rest unto your soul, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Through faith and obedience to the word of God, by repenting of all your sins, being baptized into Christ for the remission of your sins, and living a faithful, consecrated Christian life, you may walk with him and live with him in the beautiful city of our God. Will you not trust and obey the Lord? To whom shall we go? I emphasize this day that there is only one to whom we can go for salvation. That is Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God. Come, let's go together.